Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Trump gives his first State of the Union address tonight. So this hour, we're taking a look at the concrete ways his presidency has changed fundamental aspects of American governance. Before the break, we talked about the judiciary and the environment. Now let's turn to foreign policy. Joining me to do that is Nicholas Burns, former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs and former ambassador to NATO. He's currently a professor at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Ambassador Burns, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna.
So this is an interesting one, foreign policy, because we've got some interesting bookends just to think about in this past year. On the one hand, the president came out of the gates after his inauguration with his travel ban 1.0. And then almost a year later to the day, the president was at Davos at the World Economic Forum talking about America first. And here's what he said.
I believe in America. As president of the United States, I will always put America first, just like the leaders of other countries should put their country first also. But America first does not mean America alone.
So, Ambassador Burns, how would you characterize what Trump's foreign policy has been over the past year?
You know, I think President Trump has been very consistent, Meghna, since the beginning of his time in office. He has this conviction, it appears very deeply seated, that the United States is overextended militarily. It's being taken advantage of by the rest of the world on trade, particularly Mexico, China. And we're overrun, this is President Trump's view, by immigrants and refugees. And he thinks that we should fundamentally shift our focus in all three of those areas. And that has led to some big structural changes over the past year. Donald Trump has, in essence, written a new chapter of American foreign policy, completely different than the post-World War II consensus. Every president from Truman to Obama, Republican, Democrat, pretty much felt the United States should lead in the world. We should depend on our alliances to be power projectors for us. We should be trading with confidence. We should keep our doors open to immigration. The president has changed all of that. So I think in addition to the tweets, which had been a big change, obviously, and oftentimes, I would say, his arrogant, dismissive behavior with other countries. Remember his comments a couple weeks ago on Haiti and African countries, his arguments with leaders around the world. We're looking at big structural changes, and I think we ought to be debating that for the State of the Union and beyond.
Well, so let's talk about that, because your colleague at Harvard, Stephen Walt, actually just wrote in Foreign Policy that despite all that fiery rhetoric and the tweets, that he believes little of actual substance has changed in terms of U.S. policy abroad. It sounds like you would disagree with that.
I do. I'm a friend of Professor Steve Walt, and I admire him, but I do disagree. Let me take alliances. I was the American ambassador to NATO on 9/11. I remember when all those European countries and Canada came to our rescue, invoked Article 5, the defense clause of NATO, went into Afghanistan with us. They're still there with us 17 years later. Those alliances, NATO and Europe, and our East Asian alliances, Australia, Japan, South Korea, they magnify the power of the United States. They're really the power differential between us and China and the Americans and Russia. The president has been skeptical, specifically of NATO, been dismissive of a lot of what the allies have done. In Asia, he's openly questioned our relationship with South Korea, said he might withdraw the free trade agreement. He accused the South Korean government at one point this past summer of appeasement. Mm-hmm. This is not the behavior of Ronald Reagan or John F. Kennedy or Dwight D. Eisenhower. A cardinal rule in diplomacy is you're going to have arguments with friends, have them privately, don't embarrass leaders publicly. The president's done a lot of the latter this past year. So I think we're seeing a substantial change there. On trade, the president has thrown out our big trade agreements, the Trans-Pacific Partnership with Asia, our free trade agreement proposed with the EU, and now the president's even threatening to undo and maybe do away with the NAFTA agreement, which I very much support. I think the NAFTA agreement has been good for the economy and the majority of people. Some people have lost jobs from it, and that's a problem that you have to deal with. But I don't think throwing out NAFTA makes a lot of sense. So we're looking at wholesale change on foreign policy.
Right. So let me ask you, a repeated theme in multiple conversations that I've had with people like you who have a lot of experience in U.S. foreign policy, it was just most recently echoed by Madeleine Albright. I talked with her last week. Their big concern is that if indeed the United States is undergoing this withdrawal from the world stage as a global leader, that China is rushing in to fill that vacuum. What impact, what is the consequence of that if the center of gravity regarding global policymaking shifts to Asia?
Well, in the case of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the free trade agreement that President Trump rejected, China has rushed in. It's now negotiating its own trade agreements, which will be highly beneficial to China and, frankly, highly discriminatory in many cases to the United States. That's a real loss for all the Americans, and that's about one of every six or seven workers who depend on trade for their livelihood and for their job. It's a real loss for the service companies and the technology companies that really fuel our economy in terms of getting their goods and services treated fairly. A second loss would be the fact that President Trump has brought us out of the climate change agreement. There are 195 nation states in the world. We are the only country not in this agreement. We are the second largest carbon emitter after China. That's depreciated and diminished our credibility. If you look at the recent Gallup poll from 10 days ago, dramatic 20-30% drops country by country in the trust and credibility they have in the United States. And so what's the practical impact of that? Right. When you're in a tough spot, as we were in 9/11, countries will side with you if you've been good to them. You've been a good friend and a good ally, and that's what happened on 9/11. Countries were well-intentioned towards us. I worry about a situation where we isolate ourselves.
So last question to you, Ambassador Burns. I mean, it seems to me that diplomats and diplomacy for a long, long time, for a half century, have relied on a certain consistency and predictability from the United States. And this is what seems to make them most nervous. They don't have that with President Trump. So is there anything that the president could say this evening in the State of the Union address that even for a moment could put those concerns at bay?
I think if the president could begin to say what I think his cabinet secretaries believe often, and that is we need to be fundamentally dedicated to our alliances. We need to rethink trade. The president hinted in Davos, you played a clip, that he might rethink his position on trade with Asia. I hope he will do that. But most importantly, we're an immigrant society. Every one of us came from someplace else. And if we close our doors, I think we cease being America. We cease becoming that promise and opportunity society. So there's a lot that has to change. I hope the president can do that.
Well, Nicholas Burns is former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs and former ambassador to NATO. Ambassador Burns, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Meghna.